Welcome to the Money Pig Podcast, brought to you by Goodwin Investment Advisory, where our mission is to lead people to financial peace, independence, and generosity. I'm your host, Reed Trigo, and today on the show, we're joined by Ray Brown, Associate Wealth Advisor and candidate for CFP certification.
Wow.
For a discussion about ways to buy a car.
I love it.
We're going to talk about transportation today, Ray.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Super great topic to talk about. And I think it's going to be great. Let's jump into it.
Yeah, all right. Cars are great investments, Ray.
You got to have it. Oh, investments. I don't know about an investment.
Okay, you're right.
Have you ever had someone at the dealership walk in and is like, Mr. Brown, thought you were smarter than this. This is a true story. This happened. This man came in and he's like, Mr. Brown, thought you were smarter than this. You don't want to protect your investment with this, you know, trying to sell a warranty package.
Nice. It's
like, investment. That's a depreciating asset. Is that what you meant to say?
And that's exactly right.
They did not like me.
No. Yeah. Did you call them out? Yeah. No. Investments appreciate.
It's very true.
Yeah. All right. So one of the questions we get a lot of times is, hey, I'm going to get a car. I need transportation. Should I pay cash for this? Should I finance it, take a loan? Should I lease? Mm. I've done all three of these. So I wanted to just get your take and find out what you think about this. So let's start with, is it a great idea to go in and just pay cash for a car? What do you think, Ray?
The short answer, I say yes. That's the best way. I think that's the best way. It's the cheapest way. And it's just giving you, man, there truly is a right brain, left brain response to so much that we talk about in this personal finance world. And buying a car, I think, is the exact same. And like you said, Reed, there's three ways to buy a car, right? You've got to do one of these three. You're either paying cash for the entire thing. If you don't do that, well, then you're going to finance it, which means you're borrowing money from a bank or credit union in order to pull this off. Or the third is that you're leasing it direct, you know, from the dealership. And so when it comes to paying cash, you've worked hard to save up this cash. The cash is sitting in your account and it has a pain sensor that's associated with you letting go of that money. So when it comes time to buy the car, are we spending $25,000 on the car? Are we spending $30,000? Well, dang, would I rather have that $5,000? Like, do I really need this $30,000 car? There's a thought process that activates and it just makes you think twice before you quote, sign and drive. You know, when you go into a dealership and you're pushing financing, well, what difference does it make? The payment is $16 more a month if I spend, that's the word. I deserve this extra $16. I can do that. Yeah, I can get the BMW with the, you know, the next step up the line.
But you figure that over 7 years.
Who asks how many years it is? I think that's the number one question when you walk into the dealership is, what are you trying to get to a month? And when you start thinking in those terms, that takes everything to a completely different level.
Although that is a very normal way that people think about things, right? This is how we live. We do everything in $4.99 or $200 a month.
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer your question, that was my long approach. My short answer there at the beginning was yes, pay cash. And like you, I've done it both ways. I've never leased a car, but I know a lot about it. And I know, I have financed in the past and I've also paid cash. And it's one of those things where if you can get ahead of the system, right? Because this is the other big question is who in the world can stack up that much cash to drop it? It's like, you can do that if you have no payments, right? And so you have to be ahead of the curve. And so you already own the car you're driving, you have no car payment. Therefore, you now have a car payment. Every single month you're setting aside and before you know it, boom, the cash is there. It's, you know, it's growing and it's ready to roll. And then you've got it and you can say, hey, do I want to let go of this on this car? Do I dial back my, you know, my desires a little bit and get a little bit less of a car to keep some cash or put a little bit towards the next one? And these things are going down in value by the day. So it's like, do we really want to, how do you swing it? So,
yeah, it's amazing. And just like you were talking about, ideally, out of our monthly budget, we're putting money aside in a sinking fund, which we would call it, where it's saving. And the way I kind of phrase it to people when I'm talking to them is I say normal people go buy a car at the dealership and then they make payments over time. If we want to be weird or maybe financially ahead of the game, we would make payments to ourselves ahead of time, put it in a savings account, earn a little interest, and then go buy the car. And just because now you've bought that car, keep making that payment to yourself, because in a few years, you're going to trade out that car.
Right.
And the sooner you can get there, the sooner you can trade it out if you want to. So it's sort of like that idea that there's two kinds of people, the ones who understand interest and those who don't. Some people pay it and some people earn it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And if you were to truly compare, you know, and going back to the initial question, do you pay cash for it? And the answer is yes. And it's just because that's the cheapest way to do it.
Fair point.
And of course, you know, to give it just full devil's advocate here, the full disclosure is, well, that doesn't factor in opportunity cost, right? You're going to have those people that say, well, why would I let this money go out of my account? I could keep that invested at 10%. It's like, well, not if it was 2020, it wouldn't have been, right. would have gone down 20%. So you would have actually saved money by pulling your by letting go of the cash to buy this car. And so, yeah, I think when we're looking at that, obviously my advice is always to encourage folks to, if you've got a loan, get it paid off quick. But then pretend like it's back on, it's game on, you're setting aside, you're building that sinking fund, like you mentioned, Reed, and you're stirring up the cash so that it's there when you need it. The car will die. What you're driving right now will crap out on you, and it will be time to purchase a new car. That's a fact. And
that's
so prepare now.
Unless it's a Toyota Tacoma, which I have, which is going to last me forever.
Of course.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So option number two, you can finance it. You can go to the dealership, get a loan from a bank or their crediting organization.
Yeah. For folks that do that, I've always recommended taking a private credit union route, you know, so you're walking in, you've got your own financing. And this is something to consider now is that you and I have mentioned this in the past, but in years prior, interest rates were incredibly low and you could negotiate a 0% interest on a loan or a 0.9% interest on a loan. And that's a little bit of a different conversation because then it does become a thought process of, well, why would I pull the money out of the investments now? It's so cheap to borrow money and you could easily pull that off. But now things have shifted. We're now in this very high interest rate environment where car loans are, you know, I looked at this morning, they're going 6-7%. Mm. So just right there on a $30,000 car, that's $2,000 in the first year. Mm. And so when you're really looking at total cost, is it worth it to finance it? And then the one thing that is just the back of the pocket, right brain, left brain, you know, thought process here is the emotional side of financing. Mm. And it is easier to say yes to things like warranties. Do you want the leather protection? It's just $8 more a month. Well, times 12 months in a year, times blah, blah, blah. What is the true cost of the car? And we know that it costs a whole lot more when you do finance it. It's easier to say yes to things. It's easier to have that like lifestyle creep where you say like, I do deserve that upgraded trim package, or I want the better wheels. And you start, if you're just signing your name, there's no emotion. You've not exchanged any money. And so there's no pain sensor in the brain that's activated. You're just, it's Monopoly money.
It's why I like to carry cash and use it at the grocery store a lot. Yeah. I like to feel it leaving my hands every once in a while. Yeah. And if you are going to finance, look, we got to be honest. A lot of people, especially early young folks, 20, 30 years old, it's hard to save up $25,000 or $30,000, go pay cash for a car. But save up some, and hopefully on your second car, you can put 50% down. And on your third car, maybe by then you can put 100% down or 75%, just finance a little bit. You're going to save a lot of money. But if you are going to finance this, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you're probably not saving up that at $25,000, $30,000. So we recommend the 20-3-8 rule. And that just says, put 20% down, don't finance it for more than 3 years, and don't let the payments exceed 8% of your income. And there's also another version of this out there. It's called the 24-10 rule, which is a little looser, 20% down, not more than 4 years, and don't let it exceed 10% of your income. But 23-8, just keep it on the conservative side because this is the kind of thing you don't want to mess with, but it'll help you figure out where your payment needs to be.
Run through those numbers again. So you said 20% down.
Yep. Don't finance for more than 3 years.
3 years. So that's a short time span. And then keeping the payment at 8% of your take home pay or your net or your gross income. Okay. Per month. Okay.
Yep.
Some good budgeting restrictions there because there's so many things today that demand our attention. We've talked about the subscriptions and the Netflix is, well, it's only $12. This is only, you know, $9.99. The more things you say yes to, it's like, wow, now I'm actually in a pinch. And if many things can happen. If there's a layoff, it just creates so much unnecessary risk and pressure. And if you've stacked yourself so tight that it's just, man, there's no room to breathe in this whole thing.
That's right. So then the third option.
Number three.
Oh, let me go back to this. Can you finance a fancy car? What do you think? If you wanted to buy, let's say.
Define fancy.
Yeah, let's say fancier than my Tacoma.
Okay.
No, I'm going to upgrade to maybe that luxury car.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a Mercedes to get around, but it just feels good to drive.
I'm sure that they would love you to walk in the door and ask, and yeah, we'll get you a great deal, Mr. Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can do it for $500 a month or $800 a month. Sure.
Can you do $700 a month? Yeah, we'll get you in it. I went into the back and I did some talking, and my manager, we got it down for you. You know, you said you could do $700. I got it down to $690. What do you say?
Yeah.
It's an 8-year loan, but it's your budget. You can do that. Yeah.
So I think when you get to an extra car, like if you want an extra car, a Corvette or something like that, we're not probably financing those things. And if you are, it's got to be same as cash over 12 months. That's it.
I would certainly discourage it, because then it's just like, maybe you got people going out financing mattresses that they think that they need. And do you really need the Corvette? And again, when you've got to pull your cash out of your investments or out of your bank account, and you've worked hard and you've seen those numbers go up over time, it just changes the entire way you think. You start to really question, do I actually want this?
Yeah.
Would I rather have this do XYZ? Z for me.
Absolutely.
Instead of dropping in value daily.
Yep.
What's the old Dave Ramsey quote? He calls it like a rock, because it goes down in value, you know. That's why they call it like a rock. It drops in value like a rock.
So, the old ads for the
Chevy,
pickup trucks.
This is the Chevy commercial. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. And then the third way is you can lease it, or some people call fleece it. But I will say there are circumstances where leasing might make sense for people.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it made sense, and I don't think it was a bad financial decision in a few years ago. I guess probably 7 years ago, my daughter turned 16. They had this big, good deal going on the electric cars, right? Mm-hmm. Tax credits, state, federal, all this stuff. And so we leased a Nissan Leaf. Oh. It was $300 a month for 2 years. This is the car my daughter drove. Mm-hmm. I think my wife drove it for a little while. We all liked it. It had some zip in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing weighs about 22 pounds, so it can get up and go.
Yeah.
But we did like it. And then they offered us a third year. I'm like, yeah, we just did it for a third year. So I don't feel like we spent that much money on that car.
Yeah. And this is where it truly gets into that. If you've got the crystal ball and you know exactly what's in the store for your future, like, hey, I'm on work assignment. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm working here for 2 years. I don't want to deal with negotiating to buy a car. I don't want to then have to turn around and sell this car at the end of this term. And it's a short term. You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, the sophisticated folks that feel like, oh, leasing a car is what fancy people do, and this is the right thing to do. Or I'm an executive and I need to have the newest model, and I'm a real estate agent entertaining clients. And so if that's your business motive and you like to operate in terms where you work out of rental cars, I think it's acceptable, but you just got to know it comes with a price premium, right? So there is, it is true, more expensive, but hey, I mean, so is going to a fancy gym, right? You could go to the Planet Fitness, or you can go to the $50 a month gym, and neither is a right or wrong answer. It's just, I know that one costs me more, but it satisfies an emotional.
You can also go run out on the street.
Exactly.
And that's free.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think, and I do think if people absolutely are driven to replace their car, upgrade their car every 2 years or whatever, maybe this makes sense. It's less hassle. Yeah. They're like, again, you can do about anything for $400 a month or $300 a month. So
with those, we just have to be super aware of like the hidden costs. You know, there are so much upfront costs that are baked in. There's tons of horror stories of folks that have gone over in the mileage. The paperwork is tricky. It's just an all day affair at the dealership. And it's kind of, do you really want to be in this, you know, spider web of dealing with all of the, you know, it's just a lot that goes into it, and there's fees. And let's be real. If the car company was giving you this car and charging you for it, and you're giving it back to them at the end of your term, we know they're not losing money. Like, they're not doing this for you. There is certainly something in it for them. They're in business to make money. And so do you have a one-off transaction in and out with them, or do you have a relationship where you're, you know, the slave to the car for 2 to 3 years? And again, I think there could be a time and place for it. But with that comes some added costs, and it's not to say it's a bad thing or the wrong thing for you, but just,
yeah. Well, and sort of like we started talking about at the beginning, is I like to buy things that appreciate, right? If I'm going to invest in something, well, a car is not an investment. So I always think I want to buy things that appreciate and I want to rent things that depreciate.
Right.
But a car, I tend to want to not have debt on it. I don't want to pay that price premium you were just talking about. And I sort of think maybe it's different in this case because this is a use asset, right? It's something, I don't know.
So this would be my thought process. Just super simple math. Say we buy the car right now for $30,000. I'm going to sell it in just a couple years for $20,000 as a used vehicle. You know, say I even buy it used. We didn't talk about this, but always recommend buying a used car.
Great point.
Because someone else has taken the depreciation hit. You know, it loses so much in value instantly. The fact that it is now a used car means it's worth less. So absolutely, I will buy a gently used car. It's new to me. And then, So anyways, $30,000, we buy this used car. We're going to sell it for even $15,000 a few years down the road. The cost of operating that car, you know, $10,000 to $15,000, you could not have leased it the same amount of time period for that low of a price. And so what is the most inexpensive way to operate a motor vehicle? It would be buying it, holding it for the sweet spot, selling it, and then you get your next one. And for folks that don't have the cash ahead of time, the best advice is always you buy what you can afford.
That's right.
There is no shame in buying a $5,000 Craigslist car, and it is not forever. It is it's doing its purpose for a short period of time, and then you're cashing out, you're upgrading, you're continuing to save on the side. Next thing you know, you're in a $10,000 car. Next thing it's $15,000, $20,000, and you're just playing the game. You're upgrading each step of the way and kind of rewarding yourself along the journey. So
it's perfect.
Never finished. Yeah.
Perfect. Love it. Thanks, Ray. You rock.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, super fun.
And as financial advisors, we manage and rebalance people's portfolios of assets, right? But the real value is that we work to understand our clients' individual goals so we can have these types of planning conversations that are so personal and unique to each individual. We'll see you next time.
The Money Pig Podcast is hosted by Retrigo. Goodwin Investment Advisory is a registered investment advisory firm regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission in accordance and compliance with security laws and regulations. Goodwin Investment Advisory does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through the Money Pig Podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.